You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Cheer a superstar.
And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it. You are Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Larson. And of course, as always, you can find me on Twitter at Locked On Brewers, the show handle, or at Cheesehead Talks, my personal Twitter handle as well. And Facebook.com/LockedOnBrewers2. So find us all on those spots as far as social media is concerned. We will talk a little bit. We're going to set the stage today for kind of as it relates to the offseason moves and the Brewers and what they're up to. We're going to set the stage for what we will be kind of focusing on here during the offseason for the Brewers and what that's going to look like. We'll also talk a little bit about the current, particularly National League playoffs and what's going on there. And where your rooting interest might lie. So we'll talk about both those things coming up. Dr. Scott will join us tomorrow as we'll break down some more analytics of potential Brewer free agents. We talked about, I think, who were the four main ones last week on the show. But want to get to maybe some of the other ones that, not even just free agents, but players that they are arbitration eligible that might get non-tendered by the Brewers. We'll tease on that, hit on that a little bit today. And then maybe go over some analytics with everything tomorrow. And then throughout the week as well, we'll discuss some of the other things about the Brewers, like, the top five positive moments of the season. Maybe the negative ones too, but why dwell on the negative? Maybe look at the top five positive moments for the crew. I got an idea for the number one most negative moment for the Brewers during the 2019 season. I think probably could be right up there. It happened recently. So we'll discuss that later in the week as well and have some additional Brewer guests for you as we continue to watch the playoffs and the LCSs will motor on this week. And before you know it, we'll be at World Series time as far as baseball is concerned. So with that, I want to tell you about Vivid Seats. You know, we have talked about it the last couple of weeks on the show. I told you about my Vivid experience, how this past spring down in Chicago at the Big Ten tournament, I used Vivid all the time to get deals, to find deals. The app was so convenient because it was on my phone downloaded. I could look at ticket prices in real time. And, you know, with this situation they had at the United Center, which seats a million people, well, maybe not a million, but 21,000, you know, they had an excess of tickets and not enough people to fill those seats. So we were at a situation where we could use the Vivid Seats app, and as the ticket prices came down toward game time, we were able to get seats at discounted prices. It's something you can do as well anytime, anywhere. Sporting events, live concerts, other live events. Vivid Seats has it all. So download their app on your Android or iOS. You can get discounts of up to 10, maybe even 16%. And of course, they're backed by the guarantee. It's a 100% guarantee from Vivid. And so you know you're getting a good deal and you know that it's something you can depend on. Enter promo code POSTSEASON at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100 as well. So go check out Vivid Seats. So, yeah, we were talking about it a little bit, and I think there's been some chatter around Brewer Nation as well as to who you're rooting for here. You know, it's particularly in the NLCS. You know, I think everybody roots against the Yankees for the most part, right? It's kind of annoying. You don't want to see the Yankees win again because they're the Yankees, and screw them, right? But in the NLCS, do you have the same feeling about the Cardinals? Because let me tell you something, I do. Okay? I do have the same feeling about the Cardinals. I'm very happy to see Washington go up 2-0 in this series. But the Cardinals are, you know, they're just the I'm trying to think of a good analogy. They won't die, is what I'm trying to say. You know, they just won't die. Doesn't matter if you're up 2-0. You know, it's nice to be up. It's a good advantage, but this is far from over, even though they're heading back to Washington up 2-0. The Nationals are. You cannot count the Cardinals out until they've been absolutely defeated. You know, they just keep, the heart keeps beating and they won't die. And so that's what you got to do if you're Washington. You got to put the nail in the coffin. You give that team life, ugh, they'll come back. But the Nationals are intriguing with their starting pitching. And you know, we knew that, of course, coming into the wild card game with Scherzer on the mound and then backing him up with Strasburg. You know, you saw what they did in game five in L.A. when Strasburg got on the hill to start, and he was not as electric at the beginning of that game as he was in the middle innings against the Brewers in that wild card game. But, you know, he settled down after giving up the three runs, kept his team in the game, and the Nationals found a way to come back and beat the Dodgers, which, you know, no sadness on this end here. Not sad at all to see the Dodgers go down to defeat. Even though sometimes I think it's tough, you know, when you win 100-plus games and you lose in a five-game series. But, you know, those are the playoffs. That's how they're structured. So, you know, the Nationals, and you kind of felt this way if you were paying attention to what was going on around the National League as the season went along, when the Nationals got off to a bad start. But then after going 19-31 to begin the season, they turned into one of the better teams in all of the National League, and you could see it. And you said, well, this team's going to be really interesting when it comes to the playoffs. And twice now in elimination games, they've had, you know, first they were on, you know, they'd walk in the plank against the Brewers. They had their backs to the wall. They come up with a big inning. They were down by that same score of 3-1 against the Dodgers, actually 3-0, right? And they come back and tie the game, and then they win in extras. They have a feel of a team that, you know, has that destiny thing going on, right? And that can run out pretty quick on a team, but, you know, if they get into a same situation here, either in this round in the NLCS or if they get to the World Series, you know, they've got to have that confidence in them. And when you've done it before a couple times, you begin to believe, hey, we're going to do this again if their backs do get up against the wall. They're not there now, though. And that speech that was full of F-bombs that the Cardinals manager gave after they topped Atlanta in Game 5, not looking so hot, didn't age so well, at least not to this point. But again, you have to kill the Cardinals because they won't die. They're the Cardinals. That's what they do. So I'm excited about it. I just feel like all of Brewer Nation, I'm sure, is rooting for the Nationals. It's funny. Sometimes I don't know how I'm going to feel about a series of, for, you know, or a game when my team's not involved until I get to the point where the game's underway. And I was pretty sure that I'd probably root for the Nationals and kind of pull for the Nationals because I want to see the Cardinals lose because don't like the Cardinals almost as much as I don't like the Cubs. But now that I'm here, boy, I really want to see the Cardinals lose. I'm invested in that. So we'll see what happens as that series continues and shifts back to Washington tonight. It should be pretty interesting. So we will keep eyes on that. But, of course, this is about the Brewers, this podcast. And so we will talk more about, you know, what's going on with the offseason here. Kind of set the stage for the main decisions to be made by the Brewers, the timelines, just to, you know, refresh you and make you aware of what's going on. And not only free agents here, but who might the Brewers not tender? They have club control, but I don't know if they're going to tender everybody. So we'll chat about that and touch on that in just a minute. But not before I talk about sex, because we've got to talk about sex. Good sex. Really good sex. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Blue Chew. You know, the chewable tablet with the same FDA-approved ingredients as Cialis and Viagra. Easier to go online and get a prescription for. Discreet packaging that comes straight to your door. A lot of advantages for Blue Chew. Not only if you want to perform better in the bedroom because maybe you lost a step or two here, but maybe if you're already just fine there, but you want to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is the way to go. So right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. Get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 in shipping. Again, BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try it for free. Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code POSTSEASON at checkout to receive a discount of up to $100. All right, so we're talking about the Brewers in the postseason here and the moves that need to be made and a few dates, actually, to really pay attention to as it relates to where the Brewers are at. You know, it's kind of funny how they work free agency in the NFL and I think in the NBA, too. It's usually a little bit after their championship series or Super Bowl. In this case, with baseball, it's just a few days after the World Series where, you know, you start reaching these deadlines where guys become free agents you know, very early on. Now, in the last couple of years, that hasn't meant much because, you know, it's just taken a long time for the market to sort itself out. And we've seen that Mike Moustakas has been a victim of that circumstance. But it took a long time into January for the big free agents to sign last offseason, Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. And so we'll see what this offseason brings. But again, when you're looking at deadlines and where it's happening, it's only 5 days after the World Series that free agency begins. Trades can happen the first day after the World Series. So it happens pretty quick, and it can jump right up on you. But, of course, you have the winter meetings toward December, and then December 9th and 12th, actually. And usually some action comes out of there. But, again, they've been quiet the last few years. But as far as the Brewers are concerned, you know, definitely you'd want them to go after some mid-range free agents that they identify is generally my thought. You know, I don't expect them to try and sign a big-name free agent. I guess you never know, but I wouldn't expect it with their payroll already climbing and towards sort of the limit of where they can be. But, you know, is that payroll bump up this year? Do they get to $140 million, $150 million, something like that, when I believe it was up in the 120s this year or inching close to it with some of the moves they made? That is the question. Actually, I should check on that. I'm kind of saying that off the cuff. I will look that up, so I apologize. If I'm wrong, I'll correct it tomorrow. But, you know, what are they going to do as not only with maybe that world, but, of course, their own free agents? We talked last week a lot about Yasmani Grandal, Mike Moustakas, Drew Pomerantz, Jordan Lyles. There are other free agents, Matt Elbers, just pausing there, Jay Jackson, Gio Gonzalez. You know, those are the other three free agents besides Pomerantz, Lyles, Grandal, and Moustakas. Interesting decisions to be made there, or attempts. You know, obviously they don't have control over those guys, so perhaps Matt Elbers would want to go somewhere else. I don't know if the Brewers want to bring him back. You know, very mediocre stint. He was much better as a whole in 2019 than he was in 2018 when he lost it. But Jay Jackson's a guy who they might really want to bring back. And Gio Gonzalez, I'm sure, certainly enjoyed his time in Milwaukee. They let him go last year, and then when he requested his release from the Yankees, who weren't bringing him up to the big leagues, the Brewers pounced when they had some, you know, injuries in their starting rotation. He was very good for them. You know, so that's those guys are interesting choices that we'll certainly talk about. You know, and then when Yasmani Grandal, Mike Moustakas turned down their mutual options, they'll be free agents, and we've talked about that. I don't think there's any doubt now that the Brewers will pick up the $7.5 million option on Eric Thames. I mean, it's an absolute no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. 851 OPS, 25 home runs, 116 WRC+. I mean, it's pretty good. So, you know, Thames will be back. Do they choose to try and do anything else at first base? I don't know. Maybe Ryan Braun again. You know, maybe some of their other the Tyler Austin, who played a little first. So those free agent choices will be interesting, but I think the arbitration category is as interesting as some of those big free agents the Brewers have from their club. Because you look at who's arbitration eligible. Well, Chase Anderson. Now, he's got an $8.5 million club option. Now, I have not yet formed an opinion on whether I think Chase Anderson, who was 8-4 with a 4.21 ERA, And did appear in 32 games, 27 of them starts this year for the Brewers. Certainly valuable. Certainly a mid-range starting pitcher who made $8 million, or who was on, you know, could do an $8.5 million club option. No reason to think that he would be anything different than what he was last year. But also, I don't have any real reason to think that he'd be worse than he was last year. You know, he's a guy who will get you five innings and, you know, usually, and allow 2 to 3 runs in those five innings on average. He'll have a blow-up start here and there. Who doesn't? He might go through a slump. We've seen that. But then he can rebound and actually pitch better than that five innings, 2 or 3 runs. He's not by any means a dominant guy, but a really good regular season guy. Is that worth $8.5 million? I guess it could depend on if the Brewers try to do anything else as far as a mid-range free agent. But I think that's an interesting one, Chase Anderson. you know, I really feel like the Brewers will tender Orlando Arcia, and you know, he'll be arbitration eligible for the first time. But I think, you know, a lot of fans might disagree, and maybe they won't, but I just don't think you give up on the guy yet. I'm in the camp of saying a lot of these guys take 5 to 6 years to figure it out at the plate. And I'm not saying Orlando Arcia is going to hit 300. I'm just saying he has a chance to get more consistent with that shorter stroke, thinking, you know, up the middle and right field when he's going good, and maybe he can get more consistent with that. A lot of guys do. And with his defensive talent, I'm signing that guy. Other, you know, arbitration-eligible guys, Tyler Austin, Alex Claudio, Zach Davies, Ben Gamel, which could be interesting. Ben Gamel might be a trade option for the Brewers given, you know, what has happened in that outfield and how crowded it could be. As much as we like Ben Gamel, could be a trade option. You probably tender Zach Davies. I don't have a lot of doubt about that. He can be a valuable third, fourth, fifth starter in your rotation. You know, Junior Guerra. You know, Junior Guerra is, again, a guy who can be valuable out of the bullpen. So, Corey Knebel's arbitration eligible. Jimmy Nelson is an interesting decision. You know, they've worked so hard, both sides have, to get him rehabbed, and he was... Yeah, did he show signs for promise? Does the club believe that with a little more work and doing, you know, continuing to pitch, that he can find his control and help the club in 2020? Could he possibly be a starter? Is he more destined to be a bullpen guy? It'd be very interesting with Jimmy Nelson to see what the Brewers feel about him. And will they pay him? Hernan Perez, who they DFA'd at one point this year, did not get picked up on waivers. You know, I can see the Brewers still signing him. Manny Pena, well, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of other options at catcher, particularly if they can't re-sign Yasmani Grandal. Tyler Saladino, yeah, probably not. Right? I doubt they'll tender him. Travis Shaw, now that is an interesting one, isn't it? 157, 281, 270, that was his slash line in 2019. I mean, he just could never break out of it, and when he couldn't get back in the lineup every day, you know, he didn't really have a chance to break out of it. But what does the club feel? Do they depend? Do they bet on the fact or the hope that he's going to be the Travis Shaw of 2017 and 2018? It's a gamble at this point because his season was such a surprise. The level of slump he was in, you begin to wonder. I shouldn't say you begin. You absolutely wonder if he can break out of it and be who he was. You'd think he would, but are you willing to roll the dice on that? Do you tender him? Corey Spangenberg. I think you tender him. You know, I would do that. Brent Suter, no doubt you are tendering Brent Suter and getting him signed. He can be a huge part out of your bullpen, particularly, and starting. You know, maybe some spot starts, but I'd love to really explore that role that he had in September and see what he can do for the Brewers. You know, can he do that for a whole year? How effective will he be? You know, what if he had, by the way, the guy I left out intentionally to get to last, we'll get to in a minute here, Josh Hader. But what if you have Hader, Suter, and Freddie Peralta in that two-inning, middle-of-the-game role? You know, maybe coming in the sixth, pitch the sixth, seventh, or pitch the seventh, eighth innings, and then turn it over to a closer? That could be pretty good in the bullpen if you could do it with three different guys all season long. You just kind of think about how to use this bullpen next year. So, again, and I'll wrap up with this on the show today. So much to talk about, and, of course, we have plenty of time to do it over the offseason here. But Josh Hader made Super 2 status, which means he is going to qualify for arbitration. It would be, if he didn't qualify for that, that the Brewers could just pay him, oh, probably $800,000, $900,000 this year, and that would be that. But he's going to make now probably $4 or $5 million, somewhere in that range. And, you know, the payday's coming for Josh Hader, and well-deserved. I'm actually glad he did qualify for Super 2 because I think he's earned it. I think he deserves it, and so I'm be glad to see him get paid. Now, the Brewers, of course, are going to have to pay him, which is, you know, a category they're going to have to deal with, and they're just going to have to deal with what it does to their payroll. But to me, that is interesting, and just the negotiations there could get interesting, but the Brewers will certainly tender him, and I would imagine, you know, he'll do very well this season for the Brewers. So that was some news that got made. He officially qualified. You always don't know until, everything sorts itself out in the offseason. But he has qualified, and so he's going to get paid this year. So, you know, that to me, it's pretty interesting. We'll have some guests on. We'll talk about these decisions the Brewers have to make here throughout the next week, and then, of course, throughout the offseason, really, just to see what they, in fact, do. But that's really what we are going to be talking about from this aspect through the offseason. We'll also talk about, again, some of the best moments from 2019, some of the worst moments from 2019. And we'll talk about the Brewers minor league system as well through the offseason. Take a run through that and see what things look like with their lowly rated prospects. I shouldn't say prospects, their lowly rated system. And what they do to try to improve that while still being, you know, competitive and trying to compete for a championship at the big league level. So all that's coming up here throughout the next couple of months, and we look forward to bringing you that on Lockdown Brewers. So that is what is ahead. Like I said, tomorrow Dr. Scott will join us. We will talk about some of the analytics around some of these guys the Brewers might not tender, and try and kind of get a feel for how they might use analytics to make that decision. So we'll discuss that coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to it, as always, with Dr. Scott. And I'm pretty sure, you know, save food poisoning, that he'll make it. And we'll talk about this. So hopefully, if it's not tomorrow, it'll be Wednesday. But we'll try for tomorrow with Dr. Scott and have that discussion. So you can always find me at Cheesehead Talks on Twitter. Of course, at Lockdown Brewers, as well as the show handle, and Facebook.com/Lockdown Brewers. Go ahead, rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. And you can also find the show on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Lockdown Brewers. We'll be there for you during the offseason. Always here with your Brewers Fix. I'm Ben Larson, and I will talk to you soon when we deliver your daily Brewers Fix right here on Lockdown Brewers, part of the Lockdown Podcast Network.